You know, every one of us should appreciate every day that God has given unto us. How thankful we are that God has given us another day of life for us to assemble together and worship and honor God. But you know, for some reason or another, many of us have great difficulty of balancing our life. If I were to ask you the question tonight, and I will ask you the question, how many of you feel that your life is in balance tonight? How many could truthfully and honestly say in the affirmative it is? Well, I will readily confess to you tonight that my life is not always in balance. I do not always accomplish the things that I choose to accomplish in life, but I do believe that we should make a constant effort to stay balanced. I want to talk to you tonight about balancing life's wheel. Do you know you and I are much like the wheel of a car? Now, if you've ever driven down the road with a tire out of balance, you know how difficult and how rough that can be. It is extremely difficult and certainly brings wear and tear on your automobile. It shatters your nerves sometimes. It's very, very irritating to drive along and feel that tire that is out of balance. And the automobile is not going to function properly. And the same thing is true with our lives. You know, we hear today much about a balanced trade. We often hear many of our congressmen up in Washington talk about a trade imbalance around the world, and maybe that is true, I don't know. And some say, you know, if we're going to preserve the strength of our nation, then there needs to be a balance of trade. And, not only that, but an unbalanced diet will often contribute to, bad health. It does. We live in a world today where we eat a lot of fast food. It's just so convenient sometimes to go by McDonald's or Wendy's or somewhere, and I'm not putting that down, don't get me wrong. But you know, a lot of times it's just quicker to do that than it is to prepare a meal. And a lot of times our health begins to deteriorate when we just dine on fast food all the time. If we don't have proper nutrition in our body and we don't eat the right kind of foods, then obviously we're going to have trouble down the pike. Many of the cholesterol problems today are attributed to fast food. Well, a failure to properly balance your checkbook is another problem also, isn't it? It really is. If you spend money you do not have, you've got a problem. And that's going on in our nation. I read today that our nation suffers from a 1.7 million deficit. Now that tells me there's been a lot of spending going on up in Washington, money that we do not have. Well, if you bring that down to a more personal level, many of us do the same thing, do we not? We go along and we put things on a charge card all the time, and we amass tremendous debt when we know we don't have money to take care of it. Well, if that is the case, then your life is out of balance. We have become a debtor nation. We really have. And maybe that's attributed to the fact that we are no longer a nation of producers, but we are a nation of consumers. You know, a balanced nature also ensures for us a safe environment. It really does. And God, as I mentioned this morning, did not design the seasons by accident. They are there for a reason. Well, how many of you are on a balanced, think about this now, balanced exercise program? Anybody? Nobody in this church. Well, one or two of you, and that's great. A few of you are, and that's great. I've been trying to get Gary Todd back up here to walk with me, and I just can't get him up here, but I've been trying to work at getting back on my exercise program. And as I told you, when I preach to you and I point to you, there are three fingers that are pointing back at me, because I'm guilty oftentimes of not doing the things that need to be done. An unbalanced life will never, ever be a happy life. It isn't going to be that way. And Jesus taught in the book of John, the 10th chapter, that I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, we think sometimes that we're just going to go on with life, that our days will go on, that time will go on. Let me read a passage taken from the book of Psalms, the 90th chapter. David made this statement, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. But he says something in this text that is extremely important. He said, the days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet there is strength and labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. How many of you have reached the 70? Would you raise your hand tonight? Are y'all ashamed of it? Or no? How many of you have reached, how many of you are living, how many of you have reached 80? Some of you, anybody? 50? No, I don't think so, but you will notice that with age comes a lot of problems, doesn't it? It really does. And he's right when he says that yet there is strength and labor and there is sorrow and we are soon cut off and we fly away. But now he gives this admonition down in verse 12. He says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Well, what is balance anyway? What do we mean by that? A teenager made this statement one time. He said, balance just simply means getting it all together. And I guess that probably is true. Webster defines it in this way, equilibrium. He says that it refers to stability or harmonious proportion. There are six areas where I really believe we need balance in our life. And that's what this lesson is really all about. And I want to talk to you briefly about those six areas where we need a proper equilibrialism. First of all, I would tell you that there needs to be a balance in our spiritual life. And really, there needs to be a balance of all of these six things. I think if you exercise one to the neglect of the other, there's going to be problems down the path. Again, people say, well, you mean that I can be too involved in spiritual things? Absolutely. Now, let me explain that. You know, a lot of people, and obviously a lot of people say, well, you know, I just think I need to be reading the Bible all the time. Well, that's wonderful, but what about putting into action what you read? Now, Christ had a lot to say about that. The Bible says that he both began to do and to teach. Now, obviously, we need to read the Bible, we need to pray every day, and we need to be involved in a very spiritual way till we become that full-grown man in Christ, according to Ephesians 4, verse 11 to verse 16. And we must strive constantly to have the mind of Christ, which was a spiritual, submissive mind. The Apostle Peter said that we're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. And that we are to add the qualities that we call the Christian graces to our life. Goodness, love, brotherly kindness, all of these great qualities. But we need to be balanced in our spiritual life as well. You know, if we just spent all the time that we had in church, we'd never ever really be the Christian that God wanted us to be. Now, I believe in going to church and I believe in worshiping God collectively as a corporate body. But I believe there are times when we need to take what we learn here and go out into the world and start living as God would have us live. So, yes, I believe sometimes that people can perhaps have their life out of balance, spiritually speaking. But then there's another area where we need to be balanced. And like I said, you know, we're talking about all six of these being in balance and in sync with one another. You know, if you look on your tire, most of the time, or you will find that there are several different weights on your tire. And those lead weights are placed around the rim of that tire where they need to be. Well, that's really what we're talking about here tonight. You may need a weight here, you may need a little bit more down here in order for that tire to properly function and get you down the road where you need to be. There needs to be a balance in our family life. And, you know, a lot of times we are not balanced there either. We're not balanced when it comes to teaching our children about God. A lot of times we neglect that to take care of some other area of our life. But God says that we're to train up a child in the way he shall go, and then when he is old, he'll not depart from it. He that leaves his son to himself will bring his mother shame. The homes today of America are more neglected now than they ever have been. And in our Bible class this morning, someone said it right. All the problems that we have in America today can be attributed to the home. Because as we develop the home and the family life, that's what is really going to shape our nations. I was talking today with Mitchell today, who works with the Eastern European Mission. And he was talking about the fact that now we're able to get Bibles into Russia and into the Ukraine. And he said, suddenly the people in Russia and in the Ukraine have determined that the way they're going to shape the destiny of their country is through the Bible. Isn't that amazing? For years and years, we could never get a Bible into Russia or into the Ukraine. But now they're placing them there by hundreds and thousands. And they said that the way that they're going to change the future of their country is to start trying to shape the values of younger generations based upon biblical truth. Well, when we don't teach our children and we don't give them direction in our family life, and when it becomes out of balance, we've got, again, a lot of problems. Well, not only is our life from the standpoint of our family sometimes out of balance, but there is also a third area, and that is our social life. Now, you know, a lot of people don't like the idea of social life, but you know what? Jesus was social in every way. Do you know the first miracle that Christ ever performed was at a social event? It was at a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. And it was there where he turned water into wine. That's just generally about all we remember about that event in the book of John chapter 2. But in reality, it was about a story of where people had gathered to celebrate a wedding of a couple who were going to be united in wedlock. And Jesus had gone there, and that was the custom of the day. And Jesus was there to be with other people and to simply socialize and to be with one another. If you read the book of Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, you will find that Jesus grew in stature, now listen to this, in favor with God and with man. Now, you know, that principle was also woven out in the early church. For again, if you go back to the book of Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that the church had favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. Now, what I'm saying is that those of us in the kingdom of God need to involve ourselves in a social way in the community. I have always tried to be active in this community, and I believe in it, and I think it's important. If we're going to convert people to Jesus Christ, we cannot isolate ourselves and become introverts up at the church building. We've got to be out among the folk, and that's where Christ was. That's where his ministry was. Now, I'm not saying that you go out and parlay in areas where you need not be, or that you socialize in those areas where God has condemned. But I do believe in social events, and I do believe that people ought to be involved. And that's why every Christian is admonished to do so in the book of Romans chapter 12. And verse 13, the Bible says that the Christian must be given to hospitality. But many of us are not, and our life is out of sync. And when you get so involved in one area that you can't be involved in these other areas that we're talking about, again, your life is out of balance. But then there's a fourth area, and that is the job or our vocation in life. It must be properly handled. We're told that the Christian must perform his responsibility. You know, a lot of times today, people are just trying to get away from perhaps their responsibility. Nobody wants to be responsible anymore. They don't. They don't want to work. They're talking about how they can get out of work. They don't want the responsibility, but they want the pay. They want the compensation for what they do not do. I believe that a man ought to give a full day's work for a full day's pay. And we have a lot of people sometimes that sneak around and try to avoid fulfilling their responsibility at their job. And their life is out of balance. You know, the Bible teaches again in the book of Ephesians 6, verse 5 through 9, that we are to work at our job as if we are working at it to please God. You know, work's not a bad thing. Someone said to me the other day, don't mention that four-letter word. Well, it may be a four-letter word, but it's a good word. And God put us here on this earth to work and to toil. You know, there are a lot of people today that do not have jobs, that are unemployed, who would like to have a job. And if you don't work hard at yours, you may lose yours and they may get it. Many are out of balance when it comes to working and doing what they need to do for their employer. The Bible even says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10 that if a man won't work, neither should he eat. One of the big problems in this country is that we got a lot of folks that believe that the world owes them a living, or that the government owes them a living, or that someone else owes them a living, and they are unwilling to work and to fulfill their responsibilities as an employee. But there's another area, and this is one that I find extremely difficult for me. Christians must realize the need of proper recreation. You know what that word really means? Recreation. Recreate. You know, when you take time off and when you actually take recreation, it's good for your mind mentally and it's good for your spirit as well. You know, there were times when Jesus did that. When he got away from the throne of people and he went away to the mountains just to get away from people. Proper recreation. Sometimes people think that that is out of sync with Christianity and that it is wrong. I can remember a number of years ago. And we went to the show the other night, Audrey and I did, with a group from the church on Tuesday night. By the way, if you want to go see a good movie, go see Secretariat. It was a great movie. Those of you that went, isn't that right, Linda? It was a great movie. And I know some of the movies today are just filth and horrible, and you wouldn't want to see it. But when a good movie comes down the pike, it's a great thing, and I enjoy doing that. And there are other things that I enjoy as far as recreation are concerned. But a lot of people today believe that it's wrong. I remember years ago when I was growing up as a kid, people used to think it's wrong to go to the movies. My mom and dad let me go to the movies. How many of y'all experienced that? Any of y'all ever experienced that? Mom and dad thought it was wrong to go to the movie. And they thought it was wrong to do certain things. I wonder sometimes what my mom and dad would think about watching the Cowboy game on Sunday. Well, this one wasn't too hot this afternoon anyway. But there are a lot of areas in life where people think that it's just wrong to be involved in terms of recreation or enjoying life. In the book of 3 John and verse 2, John writes, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper in health, even as thy soul prospereth." God desires a balance in our lives. There was a time in the book of Mark chapter 6 and verse 31 when Jesus said, "Come be apart and rest a while." And sometimes we have to do that. We need to do that. God's children must allow themselves to not become overweight or indulgent in any habits that would ruin their good health or the example of being a Christian. We need to understand that. Recreation is good. That I think it's good, as I mentioned a moment ago, to get out and walk and just enjoy the beauty of God's creation. Your body is the temple of God. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the Bible says that it is. 1 Corinthians 6:19. And listen to what Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4:8. "For bodily exercise profits little." I've known of people that read that passage and said, "Well, there it is. I don't have to exercise." Bodily exercise profits little. God's not, listen, Paul is not saying it is wrong to exercise. But he is saying, but with godliness there is great gain. There is profit in bodily exercise, but he says many of us are so involved in that, and I've seen people who just live to run and to exercise and all that kind of stuff, and their life is out of sync. It's out of balance. Because they're not giving enough attention to other areas of their life to have a balanced life. Then let me mention one last thing. And that is the financial aspect of our life needs to be properly balanced also. Where do you spend your money? Have you ever thought about that? You may not have even ever thought about it. The majority of your money? Where do you spend it? Let me tell you something to do. Go home and look at your checkbook. Or if you have a charge card and you paid at the end of the month or whatever it is, go back and look at that charge card and find out where you spend your money. It will be somewhat of an index to your life, I think. Many Christians are out of balance on the wheel of life. And many people often leave God out of their financial planning. They do. The Bible says that, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. And we spend money on a lot of things, but a lot of folks never spend it on God. Jesus said, lay not up treasures upon this earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. A lot of times people give to God if it's convenient, or they give to God if they haven't overextended themselves and gotten their lives out of balance financially, where they have to rob Peter to pay Paul, and so they're doing that and they can't pay God. There is a principle found in the New Testament, and that is to give as we've been prospered, and that we are to lay by in store on the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. But a lot of times the lives of many Christians today are out of balance. I'm not saying it's wrong to have money. God didn't say it was wrong to have money. That's not the issue at all. But it's what do you do with your money? Do you give God token and go and consume the majority of what you have on yourself? And I have to ask the question tonight, does that seem plausible? Is that something that meets with the approval of the God of heaven? Where do you spend your money? Is your life out of balance in that area? And if you were to just stop and think about this, if you were to take all these six areas that I've talked about tonight, can you honestly and sincerely say that my life is in balance? Now, if it isn't, then obviously you'd want to change that. I would. I mean, I'd want to try to do what I could do to bring it into balance. Because a balanced life has no happiness. There's no joy. There's no peace. Let me tell you why I say that. That is because most of the time, when our life is out of balance, many people feel guilty because it isn't. Because they've neglected certain areas in their life to bring it into balance. But their busyness and sometimes their desire to continue what they're doing does not override their guilt of being out of balance. You know, Christ came into the world to get men to put things in perspective. We often say that. You know, they've been preaching up in Washington for years about the fact that we needed a balanced budget. They've been preaching that, just hadn't gotten around to doing it. We just keep finding places where we need to start spending more money that we don't have. That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Does it make sense for us to spend a lot of time that we don't have in areas to the neglect of the things that are really important? Sometimes people complain, well, you know, I know I need to be a more spiritual person. What are you doing to bring your life into balance spiritually? People say, well, you know, I know I need to spend more time with my family. What are you doing to bring your life into balance? I need to spend more time in working and serving at the church. When will you bring your life into balance? What will it take? You know, most of the time, you know what it takes, and I have learned this in 40 years of preaching here at this place. You know what it takes? Generally, it takes a tragedy. I have seen people through the years that never darken the doors of the church building. Some of you have seen it too. That never darken the doors of the church building. Life out of sync, life out of balance. But they can have a death in their family, and all of a sudden, the whole family comes out of the woodwork. And we suddenly start putting things in perspective. Why would we wait for a tragedy to occur to do that? When we're missing out on precious moments that God has given to us. You've heard me say it before. James said it, that your life's like that vapor. It's just passing away very gradually and it's gone. And so David said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I hope that all of us will do that tonight. Whether you need to respond in a public way, that's your call. That's your decision. But many of these things I've been talking about here tonight are things that all of us can work on in our homes and in our personal lives, and go to God in your personal life at home and ask God to help you to get things in perspective and help you to bring your life into balance, because a balanced life is a healthy, happy, joyful life. It is. And I hope we'll always remember that. If you're not a Christian tonight, I can tell you most assuredly that your life is out of balance. As a matter of fact, your life will never be in balance until you go to the God of heaven and accept His Son Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And if you believe that tonight and you're willing to obey the gospel and put on the Lord in baptism to be set aright, then you can do that. And if you're a Christian and you've erred from God's way and you want to bring your life into balance tonight through the prayers of faithful Christians, you can do that too. And we urge you to come. And we're going to stand and sing this great song of invitation that Sam has selected. Trust and obey. That's what we need to do. Not just trust, but obey. Let us stand and let us sing. When we walk.